much about.
Akalaka, hi. Wayne, what time is it?
I believe it is showtime.
Yeah!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
So, another Friday is upon us.
Thank God it's
Friday!
Let's get the blood flowing from our head to our toes. Ooh. Yeah. Take off the noose and let's let it loose. Now that we've got the blood flowing, let's show them what we're working with.
I'd have to be a homosexual to ignore a signal like that.
That's when I boarded the dude train.
When I used to climb the rope in gym class, I wished it was a guy.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Sarah Abramson.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
That just should not happen, Kevin.
Roll another one.
Hey,
hey, hey. Just like the other one.
Bravo, bravo.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Please, the adults are talking right now.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
They're assholes.
Roll another one.
I myself am a drummer.
Just like the other one.
Why?
This one seems to be about.
Who writes this junk anyway?
I don't have another cent.
What?
Just pass it around.
Why not me? This is America.
What you talking about, honky?
And now,
I would rather have sex with someone because they thought I was someone else than not have sex with someone because they thought I was me.
Our feature presentation.
That makes insanely good sense.
It does,
right?
Actually.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:35. It is Friday, the 14th of June.
Friday, everybody. It's Friday.
Yay!
Right?
Woo-hoo.
It's good news.
Got big weekend plans, do you, Bean?
Oh, you know, like I roll, man.
Sure.
Come on. Can't be stopped.
Right.
Hey, we need to start a new segment where we do stories on dogs in the news, because there are a lot of really good ones lately. For instance, here's one to get you going. Gina De Jesus. You recognize the name?
No.
Nope.
She was one of the Cleveland women who was held captive in that man's home for 10 years.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
She is adopting one of his dogs.
One of the guy's dogs.
Really? So well, he had several of them?
He had three dogs in the house that apparently were very well cared for, probably better cared for than the women he was holding hostage. And she developed quite a relationship with a terrier mix named Lola. Now that he's going to be in jail for the rest of his life, his three dogs have been put up for adoption. And the women get first crack at him because, you know, they feel like it might make it a little easier for them on the outside world after all this time to have something that they're kind of already familiar with.
That's weird. It seems like it would remind them of some bad times.
But maybe they were their only friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe she just doesn't blame the poor dog for what happened.
Yeah.
So she has adopted the dog. I thought that was nice. I mean, that's not much of a silver lining for what she had to go through. But at least she's got something to smile about. And the other story is a little bit different. I think we had a story similar to this a couple of years ago, but this is brand new. It just happened Wednesday morning. Roger Brown, Brazil, Indiana. He woke up in his home to find his dog, his 6-month-old pit bull puppy, licking his feet. Oh, and also had chewed off two of the man's toes.
What? How did he not wake up?
Right. How did he not wake up at first bite?
During the
little toe and big toe on the same foot gone, everybody. Whoa. Turns out he is diabetic, was suffering from a foot infection, did not have feeling in that foot.
Oh my God.
Well, he was going to lose those toes anyway.
And it is wondered if maybe this is one of those situations you hear about dogs that can smell disease. Mm-hmm. It's wondered if this is, this was the dog's attempt to help him somehow to, cut out the offending tissue, or if the dog was just hungry. We don't know the answer to that yet. He has two toes missing and part of the foot, by the way.
The dog ate the part toes, of the foot?
Part of the foot as well, yeah. This is not one of those situations, though, that happens so often with pit bulls when they attack things or bite things that they're put down for. They do not consider the incident an attack. They think that the dog was trying to help the man.
And the guy's going to keep the dog?
Yep. He's in the hospital right now, but when he gets out, he's going to keep the dog.
Yeah, I don't need that kind of help. Listen, I'd rather have a doctor tell me your toes need to go. I don't need a dog making that decision for me while I sleep.
I didn't see the guy. I didn't see Mr. Brown, but I did see they shot some TV video into his home, mm-hmm. and I saw how he lives, and I did see his brother interviewed on the news, who was just about as a hick a man as you can get. And I don't know that this guy had ever even been to a doctor, to tell you the truth. I mean, he sounds like he's not really taking very good care of himself.
But his dog didn't go to medical school either.
Well, I think his dog is going to outlast this guy, the way things are going.
I think so, too. But that's quite a story. You don't expect to wake up and have some of your toes missing, courtesy of your pup, right?
No, I wouldn't think
not
so.
Not the first thing on my mind.
That seems bad.
So, good times. Dogs in the news, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
I'm not sure it's a new feature, though.
I like it.
Thank you, Lisa.
Really? Let's talk about today's Kevin Amico, shall we?
Choke on your lies!
We have, you have an annoying voice. We're going to have you call today. You've been told you have an annoying voice.
Haven't you, beer mug?
Come on.
It's more what he says that's annoying than the actual.
The problem with beer mug is you can't tell if it's the sound of his voice or just the sound of his voice reminds you of all the bad content.
It's true.
It's come out of that pie hole. Nev Schulman will be on the program today.
I believe it's Neve.
Neve Schulman?
Yes.
We'll be on the show talking about catfish on MTV.
Okay.
You know what? There are people on the internet that are misrepresenting themselves.
What?
Yes. It turns out that's true.
I heard. Well, hold on a second.
Nope, that's true.
I heard that if it's on the internet, it must be true.
That's science.
What I heard.
Plus, Movie Beat, because it's Friday, Ralph is back. He's going to take a look at the movies that open up in the theaters today.
And by the way, is this possibly the best weekend of the year for movies in terms of having multiple choices? Like, you can't see them all.
It's pretty
great. The Bling
Great.
Ring looks awesome. Yeah. This Is the End looks awesome. Man of Steel looks like it could be awesome. I mean, that's pretty good pickings right there.
Right. And also, we're going to play for you the highlights of the Devil Woman at the Dunkin' Donuts. I'm sure you've seen this story by now, but wow, did she think she was going to get a lot of support, and wow, did she not.
Love it.
So that's coming up. We will take a look at the Showbiz Beat when we get back on the world-famous K-Rock.
The man who co-wrote and co-directed This Is the End, Seth Rogen, talks about his movie coming up next here on the Kevin Bean Show.
Nope.
Beautiful friend.
We are pleased to announce that song is not even in the movie, Ralph Garman.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Hey, welcome back, buddy.
Hey!
How was New Mexico?
It was awesome. Just had a great time. I miss those people.
I bet you do. So bummed to have to get on a plane and come back.
What'd you tell Charlize when she was asking about me?
You know, funny thing, Kevin. Yeah. We talked extensively.
Yeah, what'd you tell her?
And I can't remember.
She kept saying, what's up with Kevin? What did you say?
Coming up at all.
Huh. Now, seriously, though.
No, but seriously.
What was your answer? I mean, did you say I was doing well?
I didn't have to say anything because there was no inquiry regarding
that's ridiculous.
The topic of Kevin. However, she did ask if Bean was still on the island.
Did Mr. Belding asked about Kevin?
No, he didn't. He had no interest in Kevin either. It's funny. Whole time I was in Mexico, no one ever mentioned Kevin. Huh. Hmm. There was a mentally slow kid named Kevin on the set that we used to make fun of. But other than that, that was the only Kevin I remember us talking
How
about.
How dare you, sir?
We have that here, too. Yeah, so you must have felt right at home. Well, we want to hear. I know you have. I'm sure you have other stories to tell. We definitely want to hear about it. We've totally missed you. And it's good to have you back on the Showbiz Beat.
Thanks for covering my butt while I was off there doing cowboy stuff. But I'm back. And I do want to say, although the mustache and I have broken up.
Like all
good celebrity couples, we will remain friends, and we will work together to raise our children. So, thanks for all your concern.
Gone.
The stash is gone.
Hmm.
You know, Sunday is Father's Day.
Yes. totally know
Thank
that.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you for paying attention.
Yes.
And as they do every year, the Harris poll asked people, who's your favorite TV dad? Who would you have wanted as a father when you were growing up?
Number one, Peter Griffin.
Peter Griffin, 12 on the list. Number 12 on the list. I was surprised by some of the people, because they did phrase it, who would you have wanted as a father from a TV father as you were growing up?
Like
and I don't
Cosby.
Think Peter Griffin would be a good choice.
No, I don't either. That's why I said it. But it was the number 11?
I don't think Archie Bunker at number 15 would have been a very good choice either.
Are these just fathers that come to their mind?
Maybe. It's the only one they could think
only
of.
Only dads they could think of.
Here's your top 10. Ben Cartwright from Bonanza. Oh, he was
he
a dad.
He was a good dad.
He was a dad. He was a guy to take out. You could shoot outlaws with him. Yes. That's a real dad. Tim Taylor from Home Improvement was 9. Charles Ingalls from Little House on the Prairie. Yeah, he was a good dad.
Yeah.
Ozzie Nelson from The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet was 7th. Mike Brady of The Brady Bunch, 6th on the list. I'm surprised he didn't end up higher.
Yeah, because he takes you to Hawaii. How could you not love that?
He's not around when you get that tiki around your neck and you almost die. But Andy Taylor of The Andy Griffith Show. He was a good dad.
Mm-hmm.
Howard Cunningham from Happy Days was 4th. Jim Anderson from Father's Knows Best, legendary sitcom about dad. Ward Cleaver from Leave It to Beaver.
How old were these people that they
no
served
kidding.
In, Ralph?
Well, these are all 60 shows.
We've got shows from current up until, you know. But here's
yeah,
the thing.
How many people remember Father Knows Best, for God's sake?
I know.
There aren't a lot of, successful family sitcoms, other than Modern Family, so when it comes to mind where you
well,
think of...
Well, I'm certainly not hearing Coach Eric Taylor on that list yet, I'll tell you that.
They asked for people who... TV shows that people watched, I think, was also on the call.
That was part of the category?
Part of the category. But Lisa nailed it right at the top.
Darth Vader?
Darth Vader. Cliff Huxtable. Cliff Huxtable from the Cosby Show was number one as the best dad. You know why?
Why?
Because he said stuff like this, which I always thought was my favorite quote from Cliff Huxtable from The Cosby Show. When he's addressing his kids, he says, I want all of you who do not have a job. Let me do it.
Yeah.
I want all of you who do not have a job to raise your hands. And while you have your hands up, I want you to look down. Because for guys who aren't working, I'm seeing expensive sneakers. That was pretty strong. This is a great story. Darius Rucker was supposed to be at Game 3 of the NBA Finals Wednesday night to sing the national anthem. And he didn't show.
Really?
Yeah, I haven't heard why. Have you guys?
I haven't either. But they pull a kid out of the stands. Sebastian De La Cruz was pulled from the stands to sing the national anthem. They knew he was in the complex because he's semi-famous. He's a local celebrity after he reached the semifinals of season 7 of America's Got Talent.
Oh, okay.
They know this kid can sing. So he gave a very powerful performance of the Star-Spangled Banner. And everybody was just pleased as punch. This kid has a moment in the sun, and it was a very patriotic moment. That is, of course, until the racists came crawling out of the floorboards to start slamming him on the blogs for the NBA. Kind of sad. There's an 11-year-old Mexican boy singing the national anthem. He's probably illegal, was one of the tweets sent his way.
Jeez.
No disrespect, but in a Mexican kid singing the national anthem makes it un-American.
No disrespect.
No disrespect meant there.
That's fine.
I'm highly upset this kid is singing the United States national anthem, clearly from Mexico, was another tweet sent to the NBA. Just for the record, Sebastian was born in San Antonio, born and raised... Family quite legal. True San Antonio sports fan.
He's an American.
He's an American. And
dad in the Navy.
Dad's in the Navy.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
That got ugly very fast, didn't it, Ralph?
Yeah. You know, there's a moment where you feel good about America, and then you feel not so good about America. That's that part of that story.
But San Antonio was so awesome because they had the little kid back last night.
Yeah.
Put him back on again.
That is cool. What's going on with those people that they're so outraged by somebody who's an American but doesn't look like them, so therefore must be inferior? What? I don't understand the mind. Like, where is that coming from?
I can't imagine either.
I don't even understand. I mean, at least sometimes you look at a story and you go, well, I don't feel that way, but I see where they're coming from. I don't understand where somebody comes with this kind of hate.
And just from Jump Street, without even...
They don't know anything.
Google the kid. You want to hate, get some ammunition before you start hating.
Exactly.
Don't hate wrongly.
I mean, I'm sure the kid's a dick. I'm sure it's easy to find something to hate him about, but not where he was born.
It's just maddening. It's just... You just feel like you're... you're treading water sometimes when you're dealing with people like
best.
That. It's like that in the Cheerio story with the biracial family and everything. You're like, I don't want to.
We're people.
I don't want to be part of those people. Yeah. And here's some people you want to hate. Here's some people you can really hate.
All right.
How about Kris Jenner?
Yes.
Easy.
Hate.
The mom pimp of the Kardashian family. Rumors about Bruce and Kris splitting up continue. Sources are telling Radar Online that Bruce has permanently moved into a different house. He's very upset that his wife never wants to have sex with him. Who knows how long that's been going on. Yeah. And says that she is just, well, frankly, nasty, in the words of one source. She is completely obsessed with Kim as her top priority. She's obsessed with making her new talk show the biggest thing since Oprah, she's been telling fans, friends rather. And now it looks like there will be a big divorce battle brewing over the $80 million she's made as the head of that family's empire. So, Bruce, I'm Team Bruce. I'd like to get my T-shirt made up now. I don't know what I need to do.
How
to help.
Did he last as long as he lasted?
I can't imagine.
In that situation.
I think he just ignored it for a long time until it got just... I think she has got exponentially more offensive.
Yeah.
And he said, I just can't do it anymore. But the rumor that they've been living separately for some time now has... been around for a long time.
Who could blame him?
And while we're talking about reality television, I would be amiss if I didn't talk about the new edition of Honey Boo Boo series, Toddlers and Tiaras, beginning July the 17th. TLC is kicking off things with, watch and sniff episodes.
What?
Did you say watch and sniff?
Watch and sniff episodes.
What?
The network is sending out 10 million scent cards, which will be included in People Magazine and Us Weekly Magazine the week before. And then you can watch the episode, and when a scene comes up, crawl across the screen will tell you to scratch the card, and you'll get your smell.
I don't want my smell.
Nope. Nope.
I don't want anything to do with that.
Nope.
It sounds disturbing on any possible level.
See the pictures of them in the ocean, Ralph?
Oh, I saw Mama doing her best Pamela Anderson impression from Baywatch.
Wow.
Yeah, she's a good-looking woman. Before I get to the birthdays, how about some tickets? You want to go see something cool? I've got passes to the K-Rock screening of World War Z.
Yes!
Boy, looks like a lot of zombies in that movie.
Does, yeah.
Look like ants just crawling on top of each other, get over walls and stuff.
That's a cool scene.
Oh, it's nuts. World War Z hits theaters everywhere on Friday, June the 21st. However, we're doing a special K-Rock screening at the Arclight Hollywood, one of my favorite places to see a movie. Tuesday, June the 18th, if you want to go and see Brad Pitt battle zombies, and why wouldn't you? 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First people who get through, we'll get, first five people rather to get through, we'll get a pair of tickets to see World War Z. Today's celebrity birthdays. Donald Trump is 67 years old today. Damn!
What?
Every year I get sad when I see he's made another birthday. I'm hoping this one will be the last. Boy George is 52.
Surprised he's still here.
Oh, I can just picture Boy celebrating in his London apartment with a guy chained to the wall, spanking him or something. Good times.
Like you do.
Faison Love is 45. Diablo Cody, the screenwriter, is 35 years old today. Actor Kevin McHale of Glee, I believe he's Wheels on that show. It's his nickname, Wheels.
I think that's right.
Spinners, yeah. Whatever he is, he's in the chair. He's 25. And actress Lucy Hale from Pretty Little Liars. And she is indeed 24 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
It's Friday. Ralph is here. Time for the movie.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Four choices for you this weekend as you go to the Southland Cineplexes. Each one couldn't be more different than the next. So if there's something, I think there's something here for everybody this weekend. Let's start with a film in limited release. This is a dark comedy about relationships called Between Us. It stars Julia Stiles and Melissa George. Tay Diggs also in this film. It's about two couples reuniting over two evenings where, well, anything can happen, as they say in the description for this film. It's a story of best friends, marriage, love, disappointment, dreams, they claim. However, I watched the trailer, and usually the trailer is used as a sales tool to help you understand what the film's about and want to go see it.
Right.
you got me. Between us, I saw the trailer. You got me what this film's about. I have no idea. Maybe you can figure it out. I brought it in. Here's a little taste of the trailer. Anyone? Help? Anyone?
Yep. I gotta say, it's a little strange having you two show up at our doorstep like this.
I want to have it. I want to have a bunch of them.
We bet. And this is your revenge. We didn't want or plan for it to go the way it did that night. Do you love me?
What about a boy?
It's none of my business.
You're right, it's not.
Joe!
Don't thank me yet, Carlo. This is why I don't like dinner parties. I am so sorry I have to see this.
Nope. Got nothing.
Not a clue.
Wow.
Maybe I guess babies are angry. They have angry babies at home, or they're angry because they don't have babies, or they have some, or they want to be
babies.
Married.
I don't. I'm not getting anything.
I got nothing.
They hired whoever does the coming attractions trailers for Mad Men to do this trailer.
Right.
Apparently.
Really? I don't think so. Joan, I don't. Coffee, but never. Take a walk. Close that door. That's the upcoming Mad Men scenes. Also this weekend, The Bling Ring. This looks cool, funny, interesting. Director Sofia Coppola brings you the story of those punk-ass teenagers who used to track celebrities' whereabouts in order to rob their homes. Based on true events, these are the people who they'd find out, let's say, Lindsay Lohan was out of town, so they'd go and rob her house. They were fame-obsessed a-holes who would rob the famous.
But if you're
to get some sort of reflected fame by taking the crap from other famous people.
But if you're taking a necklace that's been robbed from someplace else, from Lindsay Lohan, is it robbing?
Exactly. I guess you're Robin Hood if you return it to the jewelry store. Sofia Coppola, as I mentioned, directed. Emma Watson stars in this film. Here are some clips from The Bling Ring.
Paris Hilton's hosting a party in Vegas tonight.
Where does she live? Do you think we could find a way in?
I don't know.
Come on, let's go to Paris's. I want to rob.
I hear helicopters.
We're in L.A. Don't be such a little bitch.
Can't take her dog.
But he likes me.
I'm a firm believer in karma. And I think this situation is a huge learning lesson for me. To grow and expand as a spiritual human being. I want to lead a country one day, for all I know.
Yeah, I want to lead a country.
I love that they rush home after every robbery and wait for it to show up on TMZ.
Yeah.
That's part
so
of the charge.
So they can be famous. Yeah. You know, it's sad. It's funny, but it's really not because that was real.
Yeah
it happened.
There are teenagers who believe and think that way. So take it for what it's worth. This is a good lead-in from Bling Ring, which shows you the death of our youth culture to This Is the End. Because then it kind of is in the end as we circle the drain. You guys were just talking, of course, to Seth Rogen, co-writer and director of this film. Seth James Franco, Jay Burkell. Paul Rudd, I mean, you name it. Everybody's in this movie. I saw the film. I thought it had some good laughs in it. I thought it was a little cute. I mean, they hammer the home, the point that they're actors and celebrities, and which is set up perfectly fine in the beginning of the film. You
right.
just really, throughout every film, everybody has to mention a title of one of their movies in almost every scene throughout most of this film.
I thought it was funny.
I was like, okay, you know what? Yeah, we got it. Okay, you were in Moneyball. We got that. We understand that. It's kind of an inside joke. The guys are having a great time. I think if you're looking for a pretty lighthearted comedy, you'll have a good time with this one. Here's a scene where Emma Watson, again playing herself, shows up at James Franco's house after the apocalypse has started. She somehow has survived out there in the wilderness after this party they were having. She returns to the house and she explains to the guys who remain, Danny McBride and Seth Rogen and James Franco and Jay, exactly what happened to her on the outside.
I hid in a drain pipe for days, like 3 or 4, I don't even know how many. And then I stopped hearing people and I started hearing growling noises.
Out there in your travels, did you see anything that you would describe as apocalyptic?
I mean, no, but I would say it's completely obvious what's going on here. I mean, it's a zombie invasion.
I'm the one who said it's been
you
zombies.
You said zombies?
I said zombies the whole
you
time.
Said zombies?
I don't think you never said zombies. You
said they're all arguing amongst themselves about what actually this apocalypse is. I think you'll have some laughs in it if you want to check it out this weekend. Me, personally, me, this guy, who's got two thumbs.
Right.
Who's going to see Man of Steel.
Uh-huh.
This guy, right.
Yay!
Over here.
Right.
Superman Returns, back on the big screen where he belongs. Zack Snyder, the director, brings Henry Cavill, or Cavill, I guess as he pronounces his name, is the brand new Man of Steel. Amy Adams is Lois Lane and Michael Shannon. comes to us as General Zod. Kneel before Zod! I don't think he says that in this movie, but he should. Here is the, you know the story. Kid comes from Krypton, lands in Kansas, was raised by two sweethearts, moves to the big city, and protects us all from evils like General Zod. Here's a scene from the film where Superman is battling the big baddie, General Zod.
You think you've attacked my mother?
What have you done to me?
My parents taught me to hone my senses, Zod. Focus on just what I wanted to see. Without your helmet, you're getting everything. And it hurts, doesn't it?
See, General Zod, he's superpowered too.
I don't know anything about him.
But he's also from Krypton. He's a bad guy from Krypton who gets frozen when he commits a crime on Krypton. And then after the planet blows up, he finds his way to Earth. You ever see Superman 2 where they all show up? General Zod and Ursa and Nod?
I don't remember.
Anyway, he's also a Kryptonian. So he shows up on Earth as an adult. And he starts, you know, they've got super hearing and super sight and everything. So he starts seeing and hearing everything all at once. Whereas Kal-El, Clark Kent, Superman, he has been trained his whole life since he was a little boy to be able to filter that stuff out and focus on one thing.
Is it possible you're too excited about it?
No!
Okay.
Superman!
So they don't tell us this in the trailers, but Zod turns out to be Khan, right? That's the secret of the whole thing, is that he's Khan?
I think you're confusing franchises.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't keep up.
Man of Steel opened last night at midnight, and I couldn't get to that show, but I'm going right after the show today to go see Man of Steel. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
Hey, party people. Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Friday morning. Are you familiar with 27-year-old Florida, hard to believe, Florida woman Taylor Chapman, who has the viral video of the week as the way she berated a Dunkin' Donuts employee for her not getting a receipt at that same location the night before. Came back with a video camera, and she was really ticked off about it.
Here's what's funny about that is you need a receipt most times. Let's say you're getting a cell phone or some kind of piece of electronic computer or something in case you need to take it back. A donut shop? Do you need a receipt, or is that just a waste of paper? I mean, you go back, they'll give you a donut. They don't care.
Yeah, you're right.
And usually you're buying less than a dozen, so you can count them right there. You don't really need a receipt.
She so upset about not having a receipt?
Well, I think she did. I think they had one of those signs that said, if you don't get a receipt, you get a free, your next visit is free or whatever. And so that's what made her angry. And then she wanted, so now she's going back to claim her free.
Oh, I got it. But it's the next day.
The next day she goes back and says, I didn't get my receipt and I want all of my order free. And she starts berating this person. And she keeps saying, I'm going to put it on Facebook, thinking that was going to scare these people into doing something.
Yeah.
And these people handled it way better than I would have. I would have punched her in the head and lost my job.
This kid behind the counter, by the way, is 18 years old. His name is Abid Adar. And he could not have handled it more calmly or coolly. He's just like, so sorry, happy to help you out. Tell me what you want. I'll give you your order free. I mean, he could not have been any nicer about it, even though she just stands there at the counter and just berates both employees that are working at that time for several minutes.
Just to warn you, this is all being under video surveillance, okay? Last night I was here. Is Anan here?
No, he's
not. I was here last night, and Needy forgot to give me a receipt, okay?
Okay. You can tell that she's right already. There. Like, okay. She feels like that's enough of a case. This person should give her thousands of dollars now.
Right.
Okay? I didn't get a receipt, okay?
And then she can turn into a complete rude bitch. I don't know if you have any type of security cameras here. But you need to pull them up and listen to how she treated me, first of all.
All right. So first of all, you need to find some security footage and go back and look at it.
Right. And what she's complaining about is she said, I didn't get a receipt. I want free food. And the woman the night before said, you have to come back tomorrow and talk to the manager about it. That's what she's
complaining
about.
This is going to get posted on Facebook. I already posted on Facebook what you guys did. I have never had a problem with day shift. You have always given me exactly what I've asked for.
She's never had a problem with day shift. This woman eats too many donuts.
Wow, does
no
she
kidding.
Donuts.
She really has the shifts figured out.
She knows who's working when.
Hey, a couple of, fewer donuts during the week, maybe you'd be in a better mood.
And respected me with kindness to the utmost, and I have thanked you for that. This girl was so rude to me and said, okay, well, you can get your order free next time. So you know what I told her? I said, I want the whole menu, bitch, twice. Give me your manager's number, the owner, now, because a guarantee is a guarantee. And I have already called my lawyer, and he is already on it.
She's already called her liar. She's called her liar, and he's on it.
So when it says you don't get a receipt, you get your order free, it means it, right? Or is it a lie? Because this is all being recorded.
No, that's true. Because I don't know what happened yesterday, so...
Was there a video camera there? Because I should get my order free. I already talked to someone earlier, and they already said I can have my order free today. And it's already on video record.
Yeah, you talked to Munira, right?
Yeah.
In the morning? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give you your order free.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm unclear. Is this being videotaped?
Are we under surveillance?
So the dude says, fine.
Mm-hmm.
Have your, order,
your order for free.
I don't
right.
Care.
That should be end of it, right? She should say, okay, thanks very much.
Whatever you ordered yesterday, I can give it to you free. Or
pull it back up.
Okay, or do you
want to
tell me what it was?
Yeah.
I'll make it for you.
Okay. And I'm posting that on Facebook, too. Okay. How do you feel about that?
Is that good or bad?
It's just TMZ.
It's your issue, and I have my own issue.
Do they always?
So she's turning to somebody else in the store and going, hey, this is, they didn't give me my receipt. He's like, look, lady, this is your issue.
How'd you like to be this guy behind this woman in line? You're just trying to get a cup of coffee, by the way, and she's just standing there just screaming at everybody.
I'd say, get out of the way. Handle this later. I want my coffee.
Do they always give you a receipt when you come here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Better make sure they do. I'm from Indiana in Kentucky, and up there, this doesn't happen.
Yeah. They never don't give you a receipt in Indiana.
What does she think is happening when they don't give her a receipt?
I really don't know.
I'm going to Mars where I don't have to deal with it. It's a one-way flight. I'm still recording all of this. And even if they hawk a loogie and in it, I don't even care.
All right, now here's my favorite part. Even
She's
if they
so disgusting.
Yeah, so let's say that they spit in my order. I don't even
or
care.
Or worse.
Because one time they in my fries where I'm from at home. Literally, I could smell the in it. So I know they probably are spitting and doing everything in it because they really, really don't give a They really don't. That's why I'm not eating this food and I'm giving it to my boyfriend.
All right. Now, A,
surprise.
A, you have a boyfriend, please. And B,
she lives with her fiance, Kevin.
B, if they poop in it, you're not going to eat it. But you'll give it to your boyfriend?
She's right. Quite impressed.
Wow.
She is a prize. Is she drunk, you guys?
It doesn't sound like it.
Really? To me, she does. Oh, to me, she sounds like she's drunk.
Is Needy going to still be working here after this? Are you needy?
Yeah.
All right. Now she sees her ultimate foe. This is the girl that was there that didn't give her the receipt and told her she had to come back today.
Oh, well, guess what? This is about to go live, bitch. Right on Facebook, because I already posted what your dumbass did last night. So I hope you're happy with your little fan self, because I'm about to nuke your whole planet from Mars.
I'm going to nuke your whole planet from Mars. Now, again, remember, this is a Dunkin' Donuts over a receipt.
Right.
She's such a potty mouth.
You think y'all are tough, big, bad Arabs bombing the Trade Center? I'll show you tough.
Yeah, she's going to go there.
What?
She's going to go there. You think you're all tough bombing the World Trade Center.
I'm going to show you tough because I'm going to post this video of me and a Dunkin' Donuts on Facebook, and that's comparable.
Did she just find Facebook? Is that why she's so excited?
I don't know, but don't. Don't you just get the idea that there's 100% hatred for her out there?
Oh my God, yes.
Well, here's what's amazing: is she thinks that she's going to bust this whole Dunkin' Donuts scandal wide open, and the hate's going to come raining down on the company because, God forbid, they forgot to give her a receipt. But she didn't realize that she would receive so much hate from around the world that she'd end up having to delete her Facebook page. Which is what happened?
Great.
If I was behind the counter, I would have been.
Oh, f- you.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Right now, we are talking to future gun killers.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Time for the showbiz. Here's Ralph.
Back, there we go. Hey, it's another Moment with Kevin with A Moment with Kevin.
We're talking to future gun killers, Ralph.
Oh, you don't want people killing guns? That's not right.
That isn't right.
Guns
don't
kill. People kill. Don't kill the guns.
Yeah, that happens.
What's up?
What is up?
What's up with you?
I wish I had that answer.
This is good news for Kevin's kids. They may be a little old now for Sesame Street, but still they could probably watch. Sesame Street's produced a new video for kids about how to cope when mommy or daddy goes to jail.
Oh,
come on.
Which I think is nice. It's a sign of times when Sesame Street is producing soothing videos for kids on how to deal with mommy or daddy going inside.
Now, does this apply if they go to rehab as well? Because that could also come in handy.
How dare
this
you.
Particular video is simply for jail time.
Jail.
So, your wife may want to pick up that video, Kevin. How dare kid you. Doesn't feel like explaining things herself. The next time you do whatever it is that you're going to do, they'll end you up in hot water
anything?
With
what
the
are you
police.
Talking about?
Whether it's setting fire to Malibu with fireworks or stealing
Fourth
a
of
car.
July's right around the corner.
You guys are making up all kinds of BS.
Whatever
I
you
don't
do.
Appreciate it.
Happy birthday to you. Oh, I owe somebody $1,500. That's how much it costs if you want to use the happy birthday song in your TV show or movie, or if you want to sing it in a large group of people. That's what they charge you.
Really?
I would have thought that was public domain a long time ago.
You know what? There are some people who think just that, Kevin. A production company making a documentary about the song Happy Birthday to You is challenging the copyright and is suing in a lawsuit against Warner Chappell, who claims they own the copyright to that song, saying it should be public domain, and they've got proof as to why.
Okay.
That song's been around for 120 years. And they claim the copyright to that song expired around 1921.
So somebody's been making a lot of money on it since then.
Not even close.
If you don't, if you don't pay them,
sorry, who be?
Well, the Hill Sisters are the ones who owned it until a few years ago when Warner Chappell bought it. They bought them out on it, but it is the most valuable song copyright in the world, and that's why this lawsuit is being so closely watched. Is because no song makes more money than this one.
You know the Hill Sisters, Kevin. they say that Warner Chappell, who claims the exclusive copyright to the song, is based on a piano arrangement of the song that was published in 1935. So they're saying that copyright applies only to the piano arrangement, not to the melody or the lyrics.
Interesting.
And that song has a sister song called Good Morning to You, which is the exact same melody. That copyrights to that have all expired or been forfeited. So, for similar reasons, they believe that Happy Birthday to You is now public domain, up for grabs. They found out because they're making a documentary about the song, and they said, okay, we need to use the song.
Wow.
And so Warner Chappell said, fine, that'll be $1,500, please, or face a $150,000 penalty if you don't pay us. And they said, wait a minute. And they
looked into it. Will you watch this and just get back to us with the details?
You know, sure. Ben has like a 24-hour news alert based on this story in his house.
I'm following it very closely.
From the courtroom.
Sure, the Hill Sisters.
Lie. Oh, the Hill Sisters. I'm pro-Hill.
They're dead now, but, you know, they're...
Sure, of course.
Well, you love them even more then if they're dead. I'm sure.
Do. But their families certainly made a lot of money off of these songs before they finally sold it.
Bean, we don't really care.
George Lucas and Steven Spielberg say the movie industry is headed for a catastrophic implosion. What do those guys know about movies?
Seriously.
They claim, and did so at the USC School of Cinematic Arts during a panel, that Hollywood's obsession with blockbusters is going to lead to its eventual downfall.
I'm glad somebody's saying that.
They said that due to the fact that the studios are constantly pushing their smaller films out of the way to make room for their blockbuster tentpole releases.
Right.
That even movies like Lincoln and Red Tails, the most recent films from Lucas and Spielberg, had a hard time finding space in the theaters. And Lucas said, this is great, you're talking about Steven Spielberg and George Lucas can't get their movies into theaters, Lucas said.
He said that about himself.
About himself, yeah. He said eventually there's going to be a meltdown with three or four, maybe even a half a dozen of these mega-budgeted movies going crashing into the ground. And when that happens, there will be mass movie theater closings. They're saying that they simply won't have enough product to keep the theaters open.
Wow.
And that they will close theaters, which will drive up the cost of prices. And they said eventually, who knows how far in the future, going to the movies is going to cost $50, $100, like what going to a Broadway show costs today.
I heard a discussion about this yesterday, and they said because of the plummet in the DVD sales, that's what they used to use to make these smaller movies, that profit.
Yeah.
And since they don't have that anymore, it's all overseas that they rely on, and they love the blockbusters.
Because they translate well, because you don't need to know English in order to understand why a giant robot wants to kill Shia LaBeouf.
Right.
But isn't at the same time, isn't it much cheaper to make movies now? You can make your own on a computer now.
Yeah, but it doesn't make them enough money.
I mean, you can shoot something on your camera or something, edit it together and put it up online. But if you want to make a major motion picture, it's still a very expensive process. And if you can't get it into a theater to get that revenue back in order
and get
to generate
it overseas,
something, and then get it overseas to the wider market. And the studios are ignoring those films. They're not even releasing them, some of them, overseas because they don't translate well.
What did the Hill Sisters think of that, Bean?
They're dead now.
That was a fascinating interview that you're referring to, Ralph. And Steven Spielberg said he almost couldn't get Lincoln in theaters. He said that almost ended up on HBO because he couldn't get it into theaters. Isn't that unbelievable? Didn't he win the freaking Oscar for Best Picture? Or no?
I don't believe it did, but Daniel Day-Lewis, I know, won for Best Actor. Won a bunch
of
awards.
Up for a bunch of it. But, I mean, to think that Steven Spielberg could make a movie as brilliant as that and possibly not make it into theaters is just hard to even imagine.
So, this is the end, beautiful friend. I'm just going to find any chance I can to sing that. Anybody who wanted to go to Bonnaroo Festival this year but couldn't make it, good news for you, all you unwashed hippies. You can go see Bonnaroo on your computer this weekend.
Is it live?
Cambio.com will be streaming 8 hours of the music festival starting today through Sunday, including Paul McCartney's headlining set, all free. So Cambio, C-A-M-B-I-O.com, will be streaming Bonnaroo, and you can check out the festival this year if you couldn't make it. Speaking of Bonnaroo, Mumford & Sons won't be performing tomorrow night as planned. The band announced yesterday that their bassist Ted Duane is still recovering from surgery to remove a blood clot in his brain.
Ouch.
It seems serious.
He's not well enough to make the gig. They were going to do the show anyway with a fill-in bassist, but they just didn't want to do that, so they opted out. That leaves the headlining spot open for Saturday night in front of 80,000 people, and no word yet on who's going to take that slot.
Just a microphone with a spotlight.
That's what it is. And a banjo. The banjo sitting by itself on a stool.
Doesn't somebody have a hologram they can put in there or something?
And Brandon Boyd of Incubus has a new side project, Sons of the Sea. It's the name of the new band. They're going to release a debut 4-track digital-only EP called Compass on June the 25th. You can check that out if you're a Brandon Boyd fan.
I have a clip of the first single if you
hear. I'd love to hear some.
Really doing some different things vocally.
Yeah.
Brand new sound. And since we're doing a lot of music news, this will make a lot of people happy. The Replacements are reuniting. Well, what's left of them anyway. Frontman Paul Westerberg and bassist Tommy Stinson are going to be getting back together, along with two players to be named later, to headline the 2013 Riot Fest in Toronto, Chicago, and Denver in August and September. First Replacement live show since 1991 in Chicago.
You guys remember when the Replacements did
Wheel in the Sky Keeps on Turning?
I do. That was one of my favorite songs of theirs. They're getting replacements. The snake is starting to eat its tail. The Replacements are getting two guys to be replacements. What happens when they fall out? Will there be replacements? When will the madness end?
There are some bands like, you know, Motown bands and whatnot, Ralph, that have replaced so many members that none of the original guys are left, yet they still tour and perform by those names. It is an interesting question.
Well, you can see the Replacements and the replacements on the Riot Fest lineup, which will also include Iggy and the Stooges. And I understand not all the original Stooges either. I think Shemp has now joined them. I think Curly's gone. And now they got Shemp. I want to see Iggy and Shemp. I like Iggy and Curly and Moe and Larry.
I don't think that was the Stooges.
Blink-182, Rancid, and Fallout Boy will all be performing there.
Unfortunately, the original members of Fallout Boy are all participating. So.
Yeah. They were just in the studio. They were just down the hallway here.
Red Bull Sound Space. Week, right? Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Donald Trump, 67 years old today. Singer Boy George is 52. Faison Love celebrates his 57th birthday today. Diablo Cody is 35. Kevin McHale of Glee, 25 years old today. Speaking of Kevin, did you see Kevin Bacon's take on the name Kevin this week on the Jay Leno show?
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that, Kevin, or not.
It was unfortunate.
It was interesting what he said about Kevin.
Sure
how much
was.
He hates his name Kevin. He does not like being a Kevin.
Yeah.
Because it has so many negative connotations, the name Kevin.
And zero positive.
That's right. And Lucy Hale of Pretty Little Liars is 24 years old today.
I'm the only one pretty much doing Kevin proud.
You are. You're bringing the Kevin. You're bringing it hard every day. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let's get some headphones on our guest there. Neve Schulman is here, ladies and gentlemen. He's the guy. He's the sucker in the Catfish movie, but now he's the guy who looks super smart in the Catfish TV series on MTV with their new season 2, coming back on MTV Tuesday, June 25th. Hi, Neve. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Great to be here, and lady.
Hello.
it's great to meet you. So, in a million years, you never thought that you'd end up having a TV show on MTV, right? That's not what you thought your life was going to be like.
Not for a minute. In fact, if you had asked me, do you want to host a show on MTV, I probably would have laughed and said no very quickly.
Tell folks who don't recognize the name or know the term catfish how we are also familiar with you and your story and that term.
So a couple of years ago, I was working out of New York City where I grew up, met a family on MySpace, believe it or not, because a young girl reached out to me. She was an artist looking to use my photographs as the subject of her paintings. Anyway, long story short, I became friends with her, her mom, her whole family, babysitter, older sister, who was very cute.
What a great group of people, huh?
Really sweet family, yeah. And we all started talking on Facebook, and 8 months later, I was so interested and potentially in love with this older sister that I flew with my brother and our friend Henry to meet her in Michigan, only to discover that all 14 people I've been talking to, including the very romantic text and phone relationship I'd had with this girl, were the creation of a 40-year-old woman who was sort of lonely and sort of under house arrest, taking care of her husband's two handicapped children. And the whole story was basically unbelievable. And she'd created this world to live inside of to escape her reality.
And how did you happen to be filming all of that, including the trip?
Well, for the radio audience, it may not be as clear, but my brother has always said he finds there's something sort of special about being around me. and I have a tendency of finding my way in and out of sticky and often troublesome situations. I just sort of have a knack for, or rather I'm a magnet for strange activity.
Does that worry you ever?
No. I mean, I think so far it's gone well. I mean, I've been arrested a few times, which were the outcomes I would have liked to have avoided, yeah. But sure. With those come, getting catfished. So
Niamh, you know that special, in quotes, is not always a catfish, right?
True.
You understand. All right, so as you say in the MTV show, you go, Catfish the movie was my story. Catfish the TV series is your story. And what you invite people to do is contact you if they have, usually it's a long-distance relationship that they find themselves being very much invested in, and they want your help to determine whether that person is pranking them or not. And that's where the story starts each week. And each week you do your due diligence. You basically put on your detective hat and see what you can find out about that person, right?
Yeah, people don't actually wear detective hats anymore.
Oh, maybe it was a poor expression to use.
it's Google Glasses. That's the new thing.
And how often does it turn out that somebody is straight up? Because everybody has the tendency to embellish a little bit online. But how often is the person basically who they are representing themselves to be?
Well, you know, it actually is the case that people are often who they say they are a lot. They're just not the people we feature on the show.
Okay.
Because most of the time, if people are who they say they are and they really are serious about meeting up, they will. And we'll never get an email from someone asking for our help because they don't need it.
So everybody that emails you basically already has a doubt.
They've hit a wall.
Yeah, or they simply can't manage facilitating this meetup, whether it's financial or geographic or emotional. So it's not so much I'm necessarily worried this person is lying to me. It's I need to meet them. I don't know how. I'm afraid.
Okay.
I need help.
Okay. Now, before we talk about season two and get into some of the awesome stuff that you have planned for us, do you have a favorite episode from season one of Catfish, one that you really were personally intrigued by?
Oh, man. well, there's one that stands out always, which was, for anyone listening, the episode with Jasmine and Missy. Missy with an H.
Missy with an H. I hate her.
Yeah. That was a tough one because for me, I felt so terrible because I had unknowingly set this girl, this sweet girl Jasmine, up for an awful, embarrassing, sort of humiliating experience. And it was just standing in that parking lot in DeKalb, Atlanta, and not the nicest neighborhood, with hundreds of people standing around watching this sort of Jerry Springer moment unfold that I had heartbreakingly arranged,
right,
without knowing. So that was hard for me. And I think
it's funny that you feel a little bit responsible for it, even though they came to you and asked you to make that meeting happen.
Well, right. Jasmine wanted to meet this guy who she really cared about, who she thought was going to be a wonderful stepfather to her son. And, of course, the guy turned out to be a girl that she had previously fooled around with. And then they had sort of shared a boyfriend and had a big falling out. And so Missy obviously took the chance to humiliate and really, yeah, really take vengeance, which, you know, it's real life. And sometimes it doesn't always work out, and you don't have smiles and butterflies and rainbows.
Now, that was a case where, obviously, the people involved didn't want to have any contact with one another after the show ended. That is oftentimes not the case. Sometimes, like in the case of your real-life story, Neve, you became friends with Angela, who's the one who had deceived you for all that time, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've stayed in touch with her sometimes more often, sometimes less. It's interesting when you take an online friendship and then you have to take it into the real world, and you're not necessarily who you thought or who you said you were, and they're not who they said they were.
Right.
You've got to sort of deal with the real world. Well, basically, you don't live in the same place. Your lives don't really intersect. And whatever it was that you shared, whether it was an attraction or if it's a content-based friendship because of a website or a forum or an interest, the question is, is that a strong enough connection to continue actually working at being friends with each other when you go home?
Right.
It doesn't always work out.
We have to take a break. Neve Shulman is here. We're talking about the show Catfish on MTV. It returns for season number 2 this a week from Tuesday night, June 25th at 10. Real quick, you are still looking for people who would like to be on the show. If there are people who are having this kind of relationship and they have their suspicions, you'd be a good person to contact, right, Neve?
Yeah, that's right. In fact, we're very actively still looking for stories, and we've got 8 more episodes to shoot. So if you are in a relationship or know someone who is and needs help meeting up and hasn't met, obviously, or video chatted, or doesn't know for sure if it's the person,
yeah,
go to mtvcatfishcasting.com and let us know.
Fantastic. We'll be right back with our guest after this on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Our guest is Neve Shulman on The Kevin and Bean Show. He is the host of Catfish on MTV. By the way, you kind of made catfish a new word in the English language, at least a word that has a new familiar meaning to us. Why was it called catfish? Like, how did that become the term for meeting somebody and misrepresenting yourself online?
Yeah, so we decided to call the documentary Catfish, after many other titles that we considered more seriously before that, based on something that the husband of this woman said to us while we were shooting. He told us a story about how fishermen figured out that if you put a couple catfish in these giant vats with cod, the catfish will chase the cod around, keep them swimming and moving, and keep their muscles and flesh tender and tasty.
No kidding.
And in life, there are catfish, people who kind of nip at our fins and keep us guessing and make things interesting. And, you know, sometimes, sure, they can cause a headache, but for the most part, they really keep things interesting and fresh. And
yes, they certainly do.
Where would we be without them?
Now, Kevin, you had a theory, in general terms, that most of the people who get, shall we say, suckered in by somebody who's misrepresenting themselves online are stupid, right?
Well, it was based on, let's play the commercial for this upcoming season. And it's based on one particular guy in this.
Hi, Neve. I need help in meeting my fiancé, Steven. My name is Lauren. I met the love of my life online 8 years ago and have yet to meet him. We haven't been able to find him or music by him anywhere.
He isn't who he says he is.
Whoa.
I gave her my bank information.
What?
Yeah.
Have you ever just sent her money?
Yeah.
How much?
A couple thousand.
You don't think this girl has been using you?
No, I don't think so.
Wow, catfish curveball.
Yeah, so I said, after listening to that, wow, those people are dumb. And Bean said, I don't think so. Now, I'd like to hear why you don't think they're dumb.
Bean. Well, me? Yeah. Well, look, that guy made a bad choice. Obviously, you don't give anybody your money, obviously. But what I'm saying is I don't think it's automatic. I don't think it's fair to categorize people who become emotionally invested in digital relationships as being stupid. I think they're just – I mean, I think they just – you can have a real relationship with somebody even though you've never met them.
Right, but I didn't characterize people who meet online that way. I characterize these people who say, I need you to help me meet my fiancé I've never met. This is a person that I've been online dating for 8 years.
Right.
I mean, at some point.
There's something wrong with someone who.
Tell us more about that situation, Neve.
Well, I think it all speaks to the effectiveness of advertising. I mean, you know, you're getting a tiny little piece of the story. So it's complicated. And
is it complicated in the guy's case who gave the woman thousands of dollars? Is that complicated?
You wouldn't guess what we
that
found
guy's
out
an idiot
in that episode.
But at the end, that guy's an idiot.
He may not have been the brightest of fellows.
We'll find out more about that story when that episode airs. But in general terms, do you consider most of the people stupid who get involved, who get catfished, or are they just gullible, or do they just love too much? What's going on, Neil?
Well, look, the reason I do the show, and I think what makes me the right guy to do it, is because I am one of those guys. I've been through it. I never thought I would be susceptible to getting totally deceived in that way, but I did. So I really I don't think it has anything to do with intellect or, you know, location or background. It really just has to do with the simple reality that everybody's looking for love. We all want affection. We want to feel good. And if we find somebody that makes us feel good, we, you know, will oftentimes blindly pursue them.
Did you go back in your own story and, you know, back when the movie came out and look through all of the steps and say, why didn't I see this? Why didn't I see that? There had to be warnings along the way.
Yeah, totally. I mean, yeah. I cringe now when I look through old emails that I got from this woman, and I'm just like, oh my God, I can't believe I bought this.
Right.
But I did, and it was because I wanted to, and, you know, mystery is really the greatest aphrodisiac. It's just, it's so exciting to not know and to have to wonder and be curious, and people just get sucked in.
Sure.
I think my and maybe I'm just cynical, but I think my default position is if it's online, it's questionable.
And if it looks too good to be true, it probably is.
At least verify what's going on, because online anyone can be anything, and it's just sure. There's too many of these stories out there.
I mean, I am a 28-year-old bodybuilder, but not everybody believes that. Neve, let me ask you this. Why do these people who know that they're running a scam, they know that they're not who they say they are, and they're going to be discovered, why do they allow you to facilitate those meetups?
It has a lot to do with coming clean. It's sort of a, I guess they realize that they have an opportunity to finally take the weight off their shoulders, come out from underneath this rock that they've been hiding under. And it's the push that they need, because in many cases they've thought about it. They've even, you know, in one case this season we had someone who was supposed to meet up at a restaurant. The guy flew really far to meet them, and they sat there at another table and for hours and never actually went over. I mean, just, you know, they were so close, and they knew they should do it, and they didn't because they were afraid.
Wow.
And so in a lot of these cases, we really are just helping both of these people finally do what needs to happen, which is meet up face to face, look each other in the eye and say, this is what's up, and take it or leave it. But I felt like I owed it to you and was too afraid to do it before.
And I guess some people, that, like you said, they just want the burden lifted. It's heavy to carry that around, that deception, I guess, for a long time. And you want to be done with it at some point.
Because maybe. Once you uncover them, you still have to get their okay to put them on TV, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's no guarantee that these people are going to go through with all this or, like you said, end up being happy with the way things go.
How often do people say, don't put this on TV?
We had one episode last season that didn't
That's
air.
All?
Yeah. Amazingly.
Really? That's crazy. That
no, I take a lot of the credit for that. I don't know. I think I satisfy. My customers are pleased at the end
I
of
the... I will say this about Dave. I know you're being funny, but I mean, you do deserve a lot of the credit in that you are a sympathetic listener to both sides. It seems like you're there to give them the opportunity to open up a little bit, and they seem, for whatever reason, maybe it's your background having been through it, they seem comfortable doing that. So I do think you deserve a lot of the credit.
Well, thanks.
One more time before we go. If people think they are being catfished or know someone who they think is being catfished, how can they contact you if they want to be on MTV's show?
So you can send an email to me at catfishneve@gmail.com, or, which is something you'll need to do anyway, go to mtvcatfishcasting.com and fill out an application, which will be the perfect way to detail who you are and tell us about your relationship. And one of our casting producers will get in touch with you immediately. So, fantastic. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be you think you're being catfished either. You say
that's right.
Sometimes they just need a push in the right direction to go meet that other person.
Absolutely. Or sometimes you just need help flying to Hawaii. Please, if you have a relationship with someone in Hawaii, let us know. That's what we're looking
season for. Season 3 is all Hawaii.
Catfish, the TV show, season 2 premieres Tuesday night, June 25th at 10. Neve, thanks so much for coming in. We enjoyed speaking with you, sir.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Friday morning. A couple of days ago, I was surprised. Were you, Kevin, when Tim Tebow ended up being picked up by the New England Patriots?
I was surprised he was picked up by any NFL team.
Yeah, it did seem like maybe his career was very short in the NFL. Of course, he's the Heisman Trophy winning college quarterback who ended up causing a sensation for just a couple of games with the Denver Broncos when he won a playoff game or two. And then he had relative obscurity with the Jets, and then he was released. He's gone. We thought he was done. Well, the Patriots have. We don't know what's going to happen, but ESPN loves Tim Tebow. For whatever reason, he draws incredible ratings. Whenever they're talking about Tim Tebow, they get great ratings, and they know that. So the day that this news broke, Kevin, somebody counted between 5 and 7 o'clock on SportsCenter.
Right.
They mentioned Tim Tebow's name how many times in 2 hours on SportsCenter 2 nights ago?
2 hours. I would say 20.
137 times.
Tebow,
somebody has edited together all 137 times during that 2 hour period.
Tebow.
So they love the Tim Tebow. Now, the one thing that made this really surprising is that the team he went to is the New England Patriots. And Kevin, wasn't it you who told me that Bill Belichick had been asked about Tim Tebow before and said he had no interest in the kid at all, right?
That's what I heard. Is not only that, he sort of resented, almost hated him. That's what it seemed like from the article that I read.
Well, we wanted to find out more about this. Of course, Tebow's in minicamp. There's no telling whether he'll actually make the team and still be playing in the fall. But we do have Bill Belichick on the phone with us right now, our friend from the New England Patriots, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hi, Bill.
Hey.
It's great to talk to you again. Boy, the summer went by fast. Not much of an off season for you guys in the NFL anymore.
You say so.
Okay. So Tim Tebow's in camp. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Tim's a great kid.
Did you actually say you hated him or were tired of him or something to that effect?
Nope.
You never said that.
I love Tim Tebow.
You love him now that he's on the team?
All right.
Always.
How do you think?
He's the best.
He's the best. Oh, you've always loved him. Wow. That's
best,
a surprise.
Best quarterback ever.
What? Best quarterback ever?
Yep.
He's not in the top 500 of best quarterbacks ever. Not in the top 1,000.
You're wrong.
How? He's better than Tom Brady?
Well, no, he's not.
What happened?
Yes, he's better than Tom Brady. He's better.
Was that lightning?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Better than John Elway?
Well, no, that's ridiculous. Yes,
I see what's
he's the
happening.
Best guy in the world.
Wow.
He's the best. Help me.
Wow.
God is after me.
Wow. Are you going to have to start him?
I think so. God's threatening to smite me.
You're going to sit your quarterback and you're going to put Tim Tebow in there.
I don't want to get smoked.
No, nobody wants to get smoked.
Nobody wants to be smoked.
No, that's true.
No.
So, wow. Yeah, he's great. We love him here. He's the best.
Are you going to keep him at quarterback? Are you going to try and work him into a tight end or some other position?
Yeah, maybe another position. Quarterback. He's starting quarterback. He's going to be the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots. Jesus Christ.
Tough. Don't say that. Oh, man.
Sorry.
What?
Why couldn't he go to the Saints? That makes more sense.
It does make more sense.
Yeah.
This guy's so angry about him, and he sent him there.
Tebow's got a lot of tools at his disposal, it sounds like. What about for you having an extra 100 reporters at the minicamp yesterday just because they wanted to ask questions about one player? Is that kind of a pain in the butt?
Yeah, I don't go for that. But price you pay when you're dealing with jackal like Tim Tebow.
Oh, that one sounded bad.
I love him. I would marry him if it wasn't for the whole gay marriage thing being against your rules. Big guy.
It's going to be a long season for Coach Belichick. We're going to talk to listeners who have the most annoying voices coming up after the top of the hour here on Q-Rock. That's going to be a lot of
fun. Exactly. You're going to talk to them.
Thank you, Janice from Friends. That's going to be fun. Coming up here on the Kevin Beach Show, Ralph Garman is back. He's been out for a couple of days filming his movie. He returns with the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday morning Kevin Beach Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, the only thing I keep thinking about is when I can get the hell out of here so I can go see Man of Steel.
Yeah, that is... You are very excited about that movie.
I'm very excited, and a lot of people have seen it before me, and I'm very furious about that. And I've been picking my friends' brains for, you know, hints, something. Give me a little something. I don't want spoilers.
You don't really want hints.
I want a little. I want something going in. I want to have it. What kind of state of mind do I need to be in to go and to appreciate Man of Steel? So I thought I'd call an expert, and I haven't talked to my buddy Kevin Smith since I've been out of town.
All right.
And I think he has seen it, so I wanted to get his read before I go right after the show to go see Man of Steel. Good morning, Mr. Smith.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Up and away, dude. Up and away.
Ralph is so bummed that people have seen it before him.
give me a little something. Give me a little state of mind that I need to go in the theater with today.
It's great.
Is it really?
Let's start there. Yeah, it really is. It's a wonderful reboot. Like, it reminds me of Batman Begins. It sets everything up perfectly, which means the next one could be the Dark Knight of Superman films. But the Kryptonian stuff opens, and it just does not stop. It grips you. Like, the opening 20 minutes plays like a movie you've never seen before, even though we know the origin of, like, the baby's got to eventually go in the rocket. Russell Crowe rocks. You suddenly want him to be your father. I never thought I'd say that. he makes an awesome Jor-El. Kevin Costner, another dude that you would like as a father, he comes off really great. Henry Cavill is wonderful. Looks ripped. My Lord, it's almost like CGI, the dude's so ripped, but it's all natural.
He's in good shape.
I was turgid the whole movie.
Sure you are. I know you are.
Yeah.
Even before he put on the suit.
You know? Let me ask.
Michael Shannon as Zod is wonderful. He's really gets to chew the scenery in a really subtle way. He's such a great actor, but he pulls this off. And you know, he's buried under a bunch of CG while he's doing it. The Kryptonian suits are pretty cool. The Zod relationship with Superman, like, you know, those of us who grew up on Superman 2, Dick Donner Superman 2, we remember Terrence Stamp's performance, which is amazing. Kneel before Zod, all that stuff. The lock between the two characters, why Zod is chasing Superman, makes much more sense in this movie.
Oh, good.
Like, you suddenly go, oh, you know, it's not just like, I'm going to get him because, you know, why not? He's the last. There's a lot of, it makes more sense. Goyer did a really great job with the script. I think Zack Snyder crushed it. I'll give you a warning, though. The last 40 minutes of the movie is literally, it's spoilers. It's just spoilers, kids, if you don't want to know this.
All right.
Lots of buildings falling down.
That's what I've heard. A lot of people running into buildings.
They out 9/11, I hear.
Over and over and over again. It's for the last 40 minutes of the movie, it goes from Superman to, like, Transformers 3.
Yeah. Love it.
But
I don't love that. I love it.
That being said, like, I'm happy because it's Superman hitting things. Last time Superman was in a multiplex, he hit an island with his fist.
Yeah.
Like, he fought an island.
He was crying a lot. There was a lot of crying and moping last time he was in the movies.
I'm all for it. I like a Superman who's in touch with his feminine side.
Right.
But at the same time, I want to see him punch something of equal or greater value, and he does a lot of that. The air fighting is phenomenal. It's a great reboot, man.
Let me ask you about
nobody's going to be disappointed.
Let me ask about the tone, Kev, because I've heard that there's sort of a super seriousness to it. It lacks a sense of fun or joy about it.
It does. I mean, there's definitely humorous moments, but it doesn't have the kind of Kurt Swan winkingness of Dick Donner's Superman,
right.
and the ones that followed. It's definitely more of a Dark Knight version of Superman. Batman Begins is like the great parallel.
Right. Okay.
When you look back at Batman Begins, it was like, right on, all right, this is a new take on Batman.
Yeah, and it was great.
And then by the next movie, everything taken care of with the origin, they're off and running. That was the other thing I loved. Like, they play with time in terms of telling his story. It's not a linear linear story in terms of, like, he was on Krypton, then he was on Kansas, then he grows up, then he goes to the Fortress, then he goes to Metropolis. They play with time, so it's done in a series of flashbacks, and it's engaging.
I have a laser focus, Kevin Smith, as you know, on hot chicks. How's Amy Adams as Lois Lane?
She's absolutely wonderful. She doesn't get to kind of chew the scenery like Margot Kidder does. She's got some good one-liners, but she's so earnest. You actually believe. You're like, right on, this chick is a reporter. At one point, they actually have her say, like, I am a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter, which I was like, is unnecessary. Her performance absolutely communicates that. And she has my favorite moment in the movie. It's blink and you miss it. It's like 2 seconds long. But
she shows her boobs?
No.
Oh,
he's
sorry.
Saving her, and her performance of her looking back over his shoulder at like at certain doom that they're escaping is the whole movie. You've seen it in like the TV spots and the trailers, but it really delivers in the moment in the movie.
This is high praise from a guy who loves Superman. I mean, he's your hero, right? Kevin, he's the one.
I'm a Batman guy, but I've been a Superman guy forever as well. So Batman, Superman, top two, and this does it. Like, I didn't come out disappointed. Edge of my seat, like, this is no lie. The movie begins, and I was sitting back with food all across me because that's how I roll. Literally, that's how I roll. Into and out of a theater. And I was I'm reclining because you're at the Arc Light, and they got those great comfy seats, and Muse was there so I could lean across two seats and lean on him.
Nice.
I was like Jabba. He was like Salacious Crumb.
He can put his head in your lap.
2 minutes into the movie, I rarely do this. I leaned like forward in my seat. Suddenly, I was so engaged that I was no longer reclining. I was on the edge of my seat. When I thought about it, I was like, "Oh my lord!" I'm literally on the edge of my seat, like they talk about.
Kevin,
it is that engaging. It pulls you right.
Kevin,
in.
You have to stop because we have to get Ralph to stay for another 2 hours.
My bad. I'm
sorry. I'm leaving now. I'm going.
He has to finish out the show. So,
well, I'm glad to hear it, buddy. Thanks so much for giving us the review. Speaking of. Well, we'll talk about this next week when we do Babylon. We got another Babylon next week. But speaking of podcasts, you got one tonight going on, right?
Yeah, in place of the Babel Show, which I guess we're not doing at 10 o'clock tonight. We're going to be doing Why, Bri? My friend Brian Johnson from Comic Book Men, he's out here this week. So we're going to do Why, Bri? Tonight at the Improv in place of the our show, in place of Hollywood Babylon. Next week, we'll be back for Babylon. And then me and Brian are also doing the Ontario Improv on Sunday night. So two chances to see Why, Bri? Here in California.
And he is the beard guy from Comic Book Men, right?
He's the guy on Comic Book Men that most people assume is on Duck Dynasty. He's got that big, bushy beard on him. It's a very funny podcast.
Bri is hilarious, and he's such a smart, cool dude. So if you want to check out a live show tonight, you can see Kevin and Bri at the Improv tonight at 10. And then what night is Ontario?
Sunday in Ontario. I think it's 8 o'clock.
There you go, man.
Fantastic. All right, man. Always great to catch up with you. Glad to hear good things about the Superman movie, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks, Kevin.
Ralph, when you're going to see it, I want to go with you again. And I want to sit down and do Fat Man on Batman this weekend, you and me about Man of Steel.
I love it.
Sweet.
All right, Kev, I'll talk to you.
Bye, everybody.
All right, bye now.
God, I want to go.
I know, you got to wait.
You got to wait. It's a couple hours.
Stupid radio show.
Couple hours.
Takes what time's the first screening, Ralph?
Well, there's a bunch of Universal multiplex up at Universal City has, and they're showing it like every 4 minutes, I think, on one of the screens. But they've got 3D, they've got IMAX, and they've got the regular. So I'm just going to get there as soon as I can out of here, and whatever the next showing is, I will just slap down my money and just go in and see it. Looking very forward to it. Today's celebrity birthday is Lucy Hale from Pretty Little Liars, is 24 years old today. Kevin McHale celebrates his 25th birthday. He, of course, from Glee. Diablo Cody celebrates her 35th birthday. Faison Love is 45. Boy George! We didn't play any Culture Club today.
No, we didn't.
I feel kind of bad about it.
I think we're all right.
We didn't hear any Karma, 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 Chameleon. We didn't hear Do You Really Want to Hurt Me? We didn't hear other songs that they've
done. I think
we're
richer for it.
I think.
What about Kevin's favorite, War, War is Stupid?
War,
what about
War is Stupid.
And people are stupid.
What about that one?
That's the greatest song ever.
Nothing has been ever further in line with Kevin's view of the world than that song.
People, catfish are stupid. The movie is stupid. Well, magic is stupid.
That's Kevin's take on the world. Just everybody is stupid. Except for him, oddly enough. He thinks everyone else is stupid.
Thank you, Ralph, for finally pointing out the truth.
Masterful. Boy George is 52 years old today. Donald Trump turns 67 years old.
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
Take it easy.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
So
doesn't look like the Kickstarter.
Come on. That was interesting.
Hang on. I'm writing. Hang on. I'm writing. About guy who lost his leg and suing to get it back is going to make
We had that guy on to talk about the documentary he was trying to make about the dude who found a leg in the barbecue smoker, remember?
I'm sorry, are we talking about something?
I was just giving you an update that the Kickstarter is not going to fund, so I'm very disappointed because the movie's probably not going to get made. All right, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday. Hey, don't forget, 1 hour from right now, you can get on the standby boarding list for K-Rock's Festival Flyaway Destination number 4. It is Rock and Rio in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Great lineup this year again with The Offspring and 30 Seconds to Mars, Metallica, Muse, so much more. 9:10 this morning, your chance to get on the standby boarding list. How awesome would it be if you want a trip to Brazil for listening to this stupid show?
That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be great.
And, of course, plenty of other chances to qualify throughout the day. Go to krock.com for details. A couple of days ago, we were talking about a television show. I think it was on MTV. True Life. Yes, True Life. A girl was complaining that she's too hot. Remember, she's too beautiful. Mm-hmm. She's talking about how difficult her life is.
My life has been so difficult because I'm just too hot.
People just, they don't treat me with the respect I deserve because I'm so hot, and you don't know how difficult it is dating when you're beautiful, and just on and on and on. But the one thing that I took away is how much I wanted to murder this woman in her sleep because of her voice.
I never go out on blind dates, but my friend has been raving about this guy, so I thought I'd give it a try.
What is it about that voice that bugs me so much?
I don't know for sure.
Well, it's kind of monotone.
Right.
That's part of it.
Some people are just cursed with bad voices. Like, I don't know if that's partially her attitude as well that comes through, dripping through on that on her voice, but it does.
That may be some of it for sure.
Like, can you, if you have a less than ideal voice, like that this girl, could she do, is there something she could do to make it more palatable?
I don't know.
She could probably pitch it up just a touch.
How? I mean, can you?
You can do that.
What? How?
Because I can talk like this.
Oh,
I
see
talk
what you
like
mean.
This. Yeah, just do it on purpose. Just a little bit, yeah. If someone told her, your voice is so annoying, do something.
Well, we started talking off the air after we played that piece of tape for you. We thought, what would it be like to be somebody who, through no fault of your own, you just have an annoying voice? You just have a voice that people do not enjoy hearing. They make fun of you all the time. They're critical of your voice. They don't like it when they have to hear you. What must that be like? And we thought it might be interesting to talk to people who have those kinds of voices. There's a girl that works at the Best Buy that I see every Tuesday, and her voice is so high that I just can't even believe it's real. Thank you for coming to Best Buy. Do you need to receive it? It's just like, I feel like she's talking to dogs when I just think, what must it be like for that girl to go through life with that voice?
People yes, are Maggie. Like, can I speak to your mother when she answers the phone?
There was a dude that had that voice at a store I was shopping at.
Really?
Yeah, you think it's a girl and you turn around and you go, holy crap. That's a guy.
Oh, that sucks.
That would suck. Yeah.
We want to hear from you if you have been told you have an annoying voice. We want to hear from you. I don't
we'll
know if
this
is going to work. I don't know if anyone's going to be willing to pick up the phone and hang that on themselves.
It's not necessarily your fault. It's just people tell you that all the time. Maybe you don't even hear it, but people just tell you all the time.
That's the voice you were born with. You can give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. 1-800-520-1067 is our toll-free number. I do know that there are some famous people who have voices. It hasn't stopped them from being successful in their careers, but they have voices that just turn some people off.
Oh, remember Fran Drescher? She's the one to me that just fingernails on a chalkboard. This is her. This is Fran Drescher.
Yes, well, you know, I mean, I was tough going. I wasn't able to knock off that kind of weight in years.
Yeah, yes.
And I just decided that I wasn't feeling well through all of season 2.
Now, some of that is your voice. Some of that is that god-awful New Jersey accent.
That's true.
Which
but
that hurts her.
She could change that. Yeah.
Right?
I don't know if she could change her voice, but she could change the accent.
It would help.
Let's see. We have Gilbert Gottfried, who I find funny as hell. But
Joan Rivers is the bartender. He sees a sign over the bar that reads, cheese sandwich, $1.50.
Now, I will say this about Gilbert, because we've been lucky enough to have him as a guest on the show many times over the years. He is exhausting. That voice sometimes at 7 o'clock in the morning is not an easy sell.
Or is it 35 minutes into a set, into a comedy set, where you go, wow, this is still going.
And Gilbert also, part of his problem is that he is a super over-projector. he does not mellow out at all. He's never like, he doesn't turn off the mic and go, yeah, Kevin, I mean, how you guys doing?
True.
What's going on, man?
That's true.
It's
nonstop. He talks like that.
It's the same.
Maybe
on and off the air.
Slightly deaf.
You think he just can't hear? So he just projects way too loud?
I'll tell you, someone frequently on our show is Adam Carolla, and I always think, how does his wife put up with that voice all the time?
Adam Carolla.
Saying, no, no, it's not the driver. It's the car. The car's broken. Well, you're the crew chief. Yeah, yeah. The car's broken. We'll fix the car.
I couldn't take it.
Well, I don't know if that's just a combination of his voice and his yelling.
Yes. That's how he speaks.
I think he would probably spend a lot. But we know him personally, yes. And he's not like that off the mic.
Well, he is sort of like that.
I've heard him personally.
He's sort of like that off the mic.
All right. We'll get back to some other celebrity voices that people have trouble with in a moment. But first, let's take a couple of your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You have been told that your voice is annoying. Let's start with Natalie. She is on line one, and we'll find out. Hi, Natalie. Thanks a lot for calling in. What's going on?
Hi. I think I have an annoying voice still.
How old are you?
I am.
If you're over 12, you have an annoying voice.
I'm turning 24.
24.
Yeah, you do sound like a little kid.
Yeah.
Does it make it difficult to call and order food or to?
It's always difficult, especially when I'm at a bar.
Try and talk low.
It's always difficult when I'm at a bar.
That's okay. Better. It's a little better.
I can almost see your Adam's apple when you talk like that. Do you find it do you find it difficult for people to take you seriously?
All the time.
Yeah.
Well,
they're right.
You know, there are some girls, and Natalie, you might be one of them, who are actually really smart, but nobody will ever believe it because for whatever reason, the way they talk makes people think they're dumb.
Yep.
Poor Natalie.
Poor Natalie
knows exactly what you're talking about.
All right. Can we take Barry real quick?
Sure.
Do we have to go? Okay, let's take Barry just real fast. Barry, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You've been told you have an annoying voice. How come?
Because I talk really loud.
Yeah, but can't you control how loud you talk?
I really can't. I mean, I'll be sitting in the living room with my wife, and we'll be talking, and she'll just be like, stop yelling at me. And I'm like, well, I'm not, I'm just talking. It's so bad that I lost my corner office at my office because the owner of the company didn't want to sit near me, so now I have an office like on the other side of the building.
Now you're in the warehouse downtown by yourself.
But why can't you learn to talk softer?
I mean, I can.
It's just your
if somebody says something to me, I can slow down and think about it. But then, you know, I'm on the phone a lot, I'm talking to people a lot, and I just get going.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It escalates from there.
Yeah, your owner made the right decision.
That's tough. Thank you very much, Barry.
Thank you for the call.
Although, if we ever need anyone to play Brad Garrett in the Brad Garrett story, maybe Barry's our man.
Yep.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. You've been told your voice is annoying. We want to talk to you. Coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
What's Bonaducci like? And they said, well, the teachers hate him and they throw him out of class all the time.
Yeah, that's one right there.
That's a tough voice to listen to, man.
I don't know how anyone does it.
We are talking about annoying voices on the Kevin and Bean Show. Sometimes it's not your fault, and sometimes, as we pointed out, there is something you can do about it, and you can certainly get rid of your bad accent if you've got a bad accent. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Who else is in the celebrity wheel of bad annoying voices, Kevin?
Well, we've got a bunch of them. Some I don't agree with, like...
That's why Mel Gibson mad, that white rage.
Tracy Morgan.
That's white boy mad. You heard the tapes? White people was offended when they heard... bitch on the tapes. I was like, that ain't nothing but hip-hop.
That's not an annoying voice. I mean, that's awesome.
I find him funny, too, but then how about Jay Leno?
They're warning this could be a long, hot summer, and telling everyone to cover up.
Yeah, he's sort of annoying to me.
Let's try Johnny. Yeah.
I hate how he goes.
Let's try Johnny on line three here. Let's find out from our listeners that are told their voices are annoying why that is. Johnny, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What's going on, man?
Hey, how are you guys?
We're good.
That's not really your voice.
Are you just being funny, or that's your voice?
No, it's my voice, and it cracks a lot.
All right, I feel like you're clowning us.
I do, too. Thank you for the call.
You're right. Thank you for that.
If that is your voice, kill yourself. Okay.
Let's try Bill. Bill's on line seven. He's apparently got problems, too.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
We're good.
Fantastic. I've been told that... my voice is a little nasally, a little too monotone.
It is both of those things. You have not been lied to.
You do sound a little sick. You're not?
Well, I was up drinking last night, but that's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
Hmm. Now, how do you feel about that? Is it unfair comment when people say your voice is nasally or monotone, or do you understand where they're coming from and why they say that?
Honestly, it doesn't bother me. I mean, I've done telemarketing in the past and actually done really well in the Midwest and in the South, so it works for me.
Right. I couldn't hang up on you fast enough if you called my house.
Thank you, Bill.
There's no way. The speed hasn't been calculated with how fast that receiver would hit the phone. I'm serious. All right, let's try Audrey. She is on line two. Audrey is told she has an annoying voice. Is that true?
Yeah, unfortunately, it is.
What do your friends tell you?
Well, see, what happens is that when I'm talking normal, it's tolerable, but when I get really loud or, like, upset or mad, it sounds like a bunch of cats fighting.
Yeah.
And they're really screechy and trill and stuff, and mm-hmm. it's really bad. And I'm unconscientious of when it happens, so it's not like I can control it or anything.
Right, of
course.
You're
sure you're not unconscious of when it happens?
Unconscientious. I don't know if I'm making... Words up
or you are.
You are, but
you are. That just adds to your charm, Audrey.
You are, but nobody appreciates that more than me. Thank you, Audrey.
RJ writes in, "Dear Kevin and Bean, worst voice ever. Beer mug, obviously. Fire him."
Also got a tweet from Ricardo, said, "Jennifer Tilly's voice is irritating the hell out of me, but I'd put up with it because she's beautiful."
Right. She's got that baby voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't have everything else working against you if you also have the bad voice, right? You got to have something to
right, exactly.
something to counter it. All right, thanks for the call. Sorry about that, peeps. Thanks for tuning in here on a Friday morning. Our old friend Stephen Hawking is back in the news. Of course, he is the famous Brief History of Time scientist, one of the smartest people in the world. They're making a movie about him, you guys.
Well, I think that'd be fascinating.
He has had an interesting
a lot of action.
Life. He's a guy who has the Lou Gehrig's disease, and most people with that disease are dead by, what, like 30 or 40, something yeah. like that? And he's into his 60s now, but they're talking about that actor from Les Mis, Eddie, I want to say his name is Redman? he apparently is in talks to play Stephen Hawking in a movie. That's thing one. Thing two is there is a girl in Britain who is 13 who has just taken an IQ test and has shown to be smarter than Stephen Hawking at 13.
Wow.
She has an IQ of 162. I guess 140 or above is considered genius.
Right. 100 is normal, right? That's a regular person is 100.
I'm 70, so everybody falls somewhere on that spectrum.
162 apparently is... That's the highest you can have, apparently, at under 18. I don't understand all the technicalities of IQ tests, but apparently that's like scoring 100% on a test. She's 162 at 13 years old.
Let's see if we can understand her. She does have a British accent, but she talks about how chemistry is her favorite subject and 162 IQ.
No, I don't really think I'm clever. I think I'm just, you know, just have an IQ, but that doesn't really mean that I'm clever. I've realized I'm going to Mensa. Favorite subject is chemistry because it's really interesting, and I love finding out like new things, like how if you just mix two elements together you get something completely different. And maths also, because it's logical and like practical, and I quite like stuff like that.
13.
Yeah. She's clever.
13. No, she doesn't consider herself clever.
But I'll tell you she's clever.
I think what she means when she says it, at least, I think because she's British, I think what she's saying is I have a high IQ, but that doesn't mean I'm smart.
No, I do understand.
I think that's what she's saying. Now, Kevin, you don't think it's a good thing to have an IQ that high, you were saying?
I'm afraid that a 13-year-old who, and let's face it, when you're 13, when you're in your teen years, it's all about social skills.
Yes.
It seems like if you're... too smart at that point, it would be bad. Maybe later in your life when you're 28 and you're, you know, a brain surgeon or a scientist, your life would be fantastic. But when you're 13 and then 14 and 15.
It would be so hard with those kinds of brain powers.
I would think so.
Nice. To relate to
well
people
said.
Your age. They don't care. They want to talk about clothes and boys.
Well, I will tell you, I do feel a little bit bad for Stephen Hawking. I don't know technically what his IQ is, but he's the gold standard of smart people. Like when somebody is talking about somebody who's super smart, they compare them to Stephen Hawking. He's the smartest
That's
guy
true.
In the world as far as I know.
Was
right?
until this
so
girl.
So what must it be like for him now to know that Neha Ramu is who we're going to be talking about as the smartest guy in the world? We got Dr. Hawking back on the phone here on the Kevin Abish Show to comment. Hi, Stephen. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
It's good to talk to you. I don't know if you were listening, but we were talking about this 13-year-old girl in Britain who has an IQ of 162.
Yes, so I understand.
And the headline says, 13-year-old's IQ higher than Stephen Hawking.
That's it?
That's the headline. You're in the headline. You actually, you losing the battle of the intellect is in the headline.
Neha Ramu?
Yes.
That's her name, yes.
Nice name.
Well, what does that have to do with it? That just happens to be her name.
Neha Ramu.
Right.
That's is her... she from the planet Krypton?
Well, nope, she's British. She's British.
Sure she is.
Look, I would think that you're a guy who has written books and lectured on the importance of education and science. I would think that you would be happy that somebody like this is really kind of following in your footsteps.
I am happy that she is interested in science mm-hmm. and chemistry
right.
and mm-hmm. math.
Right.
Right.
But I am not happy that her IQ is supposedly higher than mine.
And she's 13.
She should call me in 5 years when she's useful.
Oh.
Okay. Dr. Hawking,
that's
come on.
Inappropriate.
You're terrible.
That's completely inappropriate.
She'll be 18 in 5 years.
Right, we get got it. We understood that.
We get it.
And but maybe someone will care about her.
Okay. But isn't the...
Neha Ramu.
Isn't the point? Shouldn't she be celebrated, though?
Is she on some sort of list where she cannot fly?
No!
No! What's wrong with you?
Something
like that.
Neha Ramu.
That's her name. There's nothing wrong with that name. There's nothing wrong with her background. The point is she's...
I hope she doesn't use her chemistry background to build pipe bombs.
What is wrong with you?
I don't even understand where you're coming from.
Neha Ramu.
Right, we get it. We know her name. She's just British.
Seriously, though, what kind of name is that?
Well, I think she comes from maybe an Indian background or something like that. It's just...
Well,
traditional name?
That makes more sense then.
Okay. So you're good?
Nope.
Ralph Kramer is back with the Showbiz Beat after being gone for a couple of days. By the way, Ralph, you missed a discussion that we had with Dr. Drew yesterday
mm-hmm.
about the hot new trend in, well, it's around the world, but it's very popular in Japan right now called eyeball licking, where you have somebody lick your eyeball.
Sorry, I missed that. So, sorry, I missed that to go make a major motion picture.
I bring that up to advise people that they should go to the Kevin and Bean Facebook page today because we do have a an interesting discussion going on about whether if you had the choice, if you had to have one, would you rather have eye herpes or throat gonorrhea? Those are your two choices: eye herpes or throat gonorrhea. That's what came up with the talk with Dr. Drew yesterday.
Yeah, I'm real sorry to have left the set of Ways to Die in the West because I was just hanging out with Charlize Theron and. Patrick Harris and Seth and Amanda Seyfried. And
so you were having a better time than we were? Is that what you're
saying? No. It sounds like, eye herpes, throat gonorrhea. Come on. I feel bad that I missed all the good stuff while I was gone.
It was a party.
We should have saved it for when you got
eyeball
back. But anyway,
licking. I didn't know eyeball licking was going to go on. I would have caught a special flight back.
That's a real thing.
For the eyeball licking segment of the Kevin and Bean Show.
Next time we do Lick Lisa, it's not going to be anywhere you think. It's going to be your eyeballs.
No.
So anyway, go to the Kevin and Bean Facebook page and weigh in on which you'd rather have. First, though, we do welcome Ralph back, and it is time for another look at the Showbiz Beat.
By the way, Charlize did send her best to everybody on the show.
To me specifically?
Nope. Not single you out at all.
Just asking.
But she said she will be in.
Oh, good.
Sometime soon. She wants to come and see us. I told her, we've invited you in for like the past 4 movies you've made. And she's like, I don't recall that. And I said, well, that's what happened, sister.
She won an Oscar. She doesn't need to talk to us anymore, Ralph.
But she will. She will be in.
She's the best, right?
She is just the best. She simply is.
Yeah.
She's stunning. And just one of the guys and funny and adorable.
One of the guys, but really not one of the guys. I mean,
one of the guys, right. But she is just a gal. She's just a guy's gal there.
Ralph, has she done much comedy?
Well, young adult, I think you could count as a comedy. She certainly has. She was
dark
great,
comedy,
great in that. And that thing you do, I thought she was funny in that.
It's going to be interesting to see her in this film.
Well, I think she's going to be great. I think she's going to crush it because the stuff that I was a part of, she was very funny. And I think...
Do you have to wear a cowboy hat?
Sure. What's so funny about that? I look awesome as a cowboy, first of all. Why is that funny to you?
I don't know.
I was awesome.
All right.
Why wouldn't he wear a cowboy hat? It's a Western, Kevin.
Do you have to wear a cowboy hat in Western? Why don't you wear a space helmet?
Stupid.
You're dumb. Your movie's already dumb, I can tell. It was lovely to wear a cowboy hat, and I had a wool vest and wool pants with suspenders and a nice heavy shirt in the desert with 100 degrees.
Oh,
it was pleasant.
Love it.
It was a good time.
You love that.
Since we're talking about the website, and you guys were with that eye-licking debacle.
Yes.
I just caught word, and I did a story earlier today, that the Bonnaroo Festival, for
yes.
those of you who can't make it this weekend, is going to be streamed online, 8 hours of it at least, from today through Sunday. And I caught wind that we're going to have that on KROQ.com as well.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh.
So if you'd like to check that out, go to KROQ.com and you can check out the best of Bonnaroo this weekend. Paul McCartney is going to be headlining along with others. I mentioned that Mumford & Son had to back out because their bass player had brain surgery. Mm. And at the time, I didn't know who was going to replace Mumford. They're supposed to be the headliners during Saturday night's lineup. And Jack Johnson has stepped up, and he will be filling that slot. So, good stuff going on at Bonnaroo this weekend.
Will Glenda be there?
I don't think Glenda can make it. I think she has other plans. How effed up are you when Charlie Sheen thinks you're out of touch?
Pretty bad.
Charlie Sheen thinks you're a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Farrah, by the way, I don't know if you saw the story or not, but she's talking about upgrading the girls from a C cup to a D cup. She's moving up in the world.
Farrah Abramson?
Yes, Farrah Abraham. Backdoor teen mom is getting D cups now instead of C cups. I'm glad to see she's pursuing her dreams of higher education and helping people and perhaps a career in restaurateur.
There's nothing wrong with her body, by the way. No need to upgrade.
Look, if she's not talking about herself and doing something to herself, what else does she have? What else she has going on? Meanwhile, Lady Lauper can't find her at Betty Ford anymore. Don't go looking for her there. She's moved on to Cliffside Malibu, her new facility where she's now getting her rehab therapy.
Was that one of the places that she tried to go to at the beginning?
I don't believe that was one of them, no. But it was signed off on by the prosecutors and the judge and her attorneys and everything. They said, yeah, she can move there.
She asked first.
Yes, believe it or not.
That's progress.
Reportedly, this facility is better suited for a long-term treatment program of 90 days versus Betty Ford, which specializes in like a 30-day detox and cleanup. So everyone seemed to think it was a pretty good idea. Plus, Lindsay said the blow is much better at Cliffside Malibu. So that's the reason she gets to go there. Meanwhile, porn star Kim Kardashian and her boyfriend Kanye West are in the news. You may not know the name Layla Gobadi, but the Canadian model says she had a passionate affair with Kanye West while he was dating Kim Kardashian.
Oops.
Yeah. She said they hooked up 2 times after meeting Atlantic City last July. And you wouldn't be surprised if you look up her photograph. She looks a lot like Kim Kardashian.
Oh, does she really?
Yeah. Meanwhile, Kanye has left Kim once again and jetted off to the Art Basel Festival in Switzerland earlier this week. So he once again left his
priorities.
Very pregnant girlfriend home to fend for herself.
If you could find somebody that looks like Kim Kardashian and doesn't
and
have her mom.
Yeah. That's a plus.
You win.
How pregnant is Kim, do we know?
Don't know.
I don't know in terms of gestation. And just from the eye test, she looks to be about 47 months pregnant.
The only reason I ask is because you guys have been through the pregnant wife and girlfriend before.
Indeed.
Don't you, when it starts to get anywhere close, like in the last couple months, you do everything you can to stay nearby just in case something happens, right?
Yes, yes. And you need to be there to diffuse any potential hormonal time bombs that are going to go off. You got to have the wire clippers, and you got the guy talking into your Bluetooth, and you're looking for the red wire. Because if you're not there just to soothe things and just calm things down at the first sign of trouble, you end up...
Next thing, you're walking through a minefield. Nobody wants that.
You're dreaming about minefields. You're thinking about the nuclear winter at that point. Just the fallout.
So Kanye just doesn't want to have any part of any of that.
No, but he'll get his when he gets home. I'm sure. There'll be a price to pay.
Sure.
This is good news. Arnold Schwarzenegger has confirmed that he indeed will be the star of Terminator 5. He told an audience at the 21st Century Financial Education Summit in Australia. Why is he there? What's going on?
Why is he there?
Here's how you bankrupt an enormous state like California. That's not really the information we're looking for, Arnold.
And then I have no reason to be here.
He told the audience, I'm very happy that the studios want me to be in Terminator 5 and to star as the Terminator. We start shooting in January.
Hmm. Is this a surprise?
Yes, because have you seen Arnold with his shirt off lately?
Yeah, it's a little sad.
Don't get me wrong, he's in his 60s. He's still in great shape for a man in his 60s, but he doesn't look like the Terminator anymore.
No.
No. Looks like the Flabinator. I don't know, maybe he can get back into Terminator shape, but I guess they'll CGI the crap out of him, right? To make him look like
he used to. Right. Yeah,
I'm surprised they're making a fifth one, though. The fourth one didn't do that well. I don't know if there was another one in that franchise, but what do I know?
I'm also surprised, Ralph, that we haven't seen more CGI actors. Now that the technology exists where they can make things that look just like regular people doing regular things, why can't 25-year-old Arnold Schwarzenegger be the Terminator if somebody wants to do that?
They got to slap it on top of something else, because if you've seen any of the 3D animated films where they try to recreate humanity, it just doesn't come off right.
It's still not quite there.
It might get there someday, but it isn't there yet.
Yeah. I don't know if they'll ever be able to capture the humanness that makes somebody seem lifelike. It always seems slightly stilted. I remember I saw that Beowulf movie, which is completely computer-generated. It was supposed to look like live action. And every one of the characters looked slightly like one of those animatronic robots from Disneyland, where they had sort of that odd thousand-yard stare, and you just could never quite get past it. And
it's
it
like the Polar Express. It's just not quite right.
It's not like video games.
Something's just off about it. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Lucy Hale from Pretty Little Liars is 24 years old. Kevin McHale of Glee turns 25. Screenwriter Diablo Cody. Oh, we're talking about Charlize Theron. She, of course, wrote Young Adult, 35 years old today. Boy George. Boy George is 52!
War was stupid. And people are stupid.
They are.
And love means nothing in some strange quarters. War was stupid.
It is.
And people are stupid.
Sometimes.
That was a thing.
That's the dumbest song ever.
That's the greatest song ever because it stopped all war, remember? Remember when that song
came out?
Right.
Everybody stopped
fighting after that.
I don't remember that part.
And TV personality, businessman Donald Trump turns 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Let him up! Let's go!
Fall Out Boy. World famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 9:38.
What time's your movie?
Let's go.
You gotta get out of here. Your movie's whatever time you get there. That's what time your movie is.
Hurry up.
Ralph wants to go see Man of Steel. Time for the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph.
Man of Steel. Man of Steel. Man of Steel.
I don't think those are the words.
Man of Steel. They better have that damn music or I'm going to burn the mother down. They don't have that Superman theme. Oh, you foolish mortals. You suckers.
Who?
You fools. Amanda Bynes has just pulled the wool right over your eyes.
Oh, is she claiming that it's all been an act?
This has all been an act.
Oh, boy.
It's Amanda Bynes says to her publicist friend.
It's almost crazy enough to believe. Don't you think?
No.
Oh.
Because when a crazy person tells you, I'm just kidding, that doesn't mean they're kidding.
No, but.
Because they're still crazy.
Yeah. But she's so crazy.
It's almost hard to. I stabbed you with that screwdriver over the American Idol finals. I was just kidding. That doesn't mean they didn't stab you with the screwdriver.
Don't you get the idea that she's so crazy it's almost hard to believe?
Well, here's the thing. She's got a friend named Jonathan Jackson. He is for real.
Nice delivery.
He is a publicist, and he has been concerned with her well-being for some time. He's been in the interviews and stuff saying he's concerned for her.
Right.
He was the one who called the NYPD when he thought she was hurting herself in New York, and the cops showed up to her apartment. Do you remember this story?
Yes.
And that was the one where Jenny McCarthy chimed in and said, geez, I hope she's okay. And then she called her ugly and old for saying that I'm concerned about her.
Right.
Well, she contacted this Jonathan Jackson again, and she said via these texts that the whole thing has been an act. All this has been an act, she texted Jonathan.
If so, it's a good one.
He posted a screen still of the text screen to show their exchange. All this has been an act, and you know it. I am an actress, and I know what I'm doing. I got to 2 million followers, and now everyone wants me. I am smart, not stupid. Everyone mentions my name. The world loves me. See, now I'm starting to think cuckoo again.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if she was really had the wherewithal, she would have said,
she was that
I
smart.
Don't care whether they're saying good things or bad things. I'm getting all this press. But for right, her to say, right. the world loves me, shows to me that she is still disconnected from
so she crazy.
Our planet Earth.
Right. So she crazy.
I think.
AmandaPlease.com.
Now, he said, if that's the case, then I want to tell everyone. And she seemed to not want that because apparently the act is ongoing.
Oh.
Because
she's not done with the act?
No, she is not.
So this is a Joaquin Phoenix-type performance art that we're watching,
so
right?
She is claiming. She says that all of this is just leading up to a big movie role that she's going to have.
No! No!
And that all his attention is just simply building interest in her and her brand, and that.
What about her rap career, though? She's not going to put that aside, is she?
Maybe that's fake.
Oh, I see.
Maybe all of this stuff is just fake, so this will get her enough tension. Attention, rather, she says. This is what he tweeted on his Twitter page. Amanda Bynes has told me that she's been acting this entire time on Twitter to get attention, as she prepares for her next movie.
No!
Does anyone know about this movie
no.
except for her?
I don't believe so, Lisa.
Well, I'll tell you, the way to not get a movie is to tweet all the time about how you can't wait to get another nose job.
Yeah.
And call everybody ugly.
Right.
Or to throw bongs out your window.
Allegedly. That worked.
That did work. Yeah. She didn't get any jail time, so I guess maybe she
knows. The one smart thing she's done.
She may be a genius after all.
And to show up on a trampoline in Buffalo and claim it's not you. Maybe another way to not get a movie.
Unless the movie's called... Trampoline in Buffalo.
We've got it.
We've got it. That's her new feature. She's going to play a renegade outlaw trampolinist who plays by her own rules. And she gets
society has turned its back on her.
She gets hired by this professional trampoline team.
Okay,
but
good.
She won't kowtow to their old school method. She wants to reinvent the trampoline. And so they throw up the team, but then she comes back with this ragtag group of, like, outlaw trampolinists.
Playing by their own rules.
That's right. And then they have the big trampoline off.
Right.
It's called You Got Bounced. Her new film, and I'm looking forward to it. They have a big tramp-off.
I like it.
Big tramp-off with her and Farrah Abraham and yep. Lindsay Lohan and all the tramps get together. They're called The Tramps!
The Tramps.
That's the name of the film, The Tramps. A bunch of hoary, drugged-out... used to be stars who are now started their own trampoline team. This thing writes itself. Someone get me a pen so I can sign the deal with Hollywood. Get the vice president of Hollywood on the phone,
there
please.
There is no vice president
yes,
of Hollywood.
Yes, get the vice president of show business on the phone and tell him I am ready to ink my deal for
that movie
The Tramps in 3D IMAX.
That movie will already be made and ready for you to watch after you get out of Man of Steel today.
That's true. Shoot it on my Vine on my phone.
It's going to be a short movie.
Joan Jett has filed a lawsuit against Hot Topic. About time somebody does. I don't know what they've done, but I think they're guilty, that Hot Topic.
Of what?
I don't know. Of hipster BS.
Why?
They sure sell in the felony,
a lot of Wiz Khalifa t-shirts, I'll tell you that.
Felony count of hipster BS.
Why?
Just the people who work there should be arrested for something.
Why?
I don't know. I see one more guy with some sort of washer in his ear. What's that look? Why is that popular?
Why?
Why is that a good idea? What do you have, a parakeet perched in there? What do you need a giant hole in your ear for?
Oh, it looks painful.
It is a drink coaster sometimes.
What
I don't
good
get it
does
either.
That do you? And what happens at 45 when you need to find a job and you walk in to the vice president of show business and he says, we'd like to hire you, but you have giant dangling earlobes with holes in them. Security,
I don't
take this man out and tell
decision.
Him to get that Sharpie out of his ear.
I don't think it's a decision that you make necessarily with all of the long-term ramifications in mind.
Anyway, Joan Jett has filed this lawsuit against Hot Topic because she owns the trademark Blackheart, because famously she was Joan Jett in the Blackhearts. That
sure.
was the band she was in, right? Since 1985, she's owned that. Well, Hot Topic now has released a new line of women's clothing called Blackheart. It's lingerie for girls who rock and roll, they say. Guilty!
Wow.
If you're using that slug line...
Wow.
You are guilty of something, Hot Topic. Now, of course, Joan also had a massive chart-topping hit called I Love Rock and Roll. So in combination with Blackheart and Lingerie for Girls Who Rock and Roll, it would seem like they're trying to somehow ride on her celebrity coattails.
Guilty!
The chain has also opened 5 stores called Blackheart. So it looks like this has gone to court.
I've just been handed a note that they're completely innocent.
That's what I meant. I love Hot Topic and everything that they do.
Wait, what's happening?
I like Hot Topic because they have a sense of humor. and they know when someone's just kidding them. When someone's just kidding them, when someone's just ribbing them. Right. I like that.
They get it.
I'm going to go out and get one of those things in my earlobes. I'm going to go out and get one of those giant washers put in my ear. That's a good
I'm going
one.
To Hot Topic today after the show to buy
I
a bunch
too.
Of stuff.
I'm going to buy lots of t-shirts and several belt buckles that have giant crosses on them.
And then I'm going to buy some of the Blackheart lingerie just to support the company.
I do, too. I think everything they do is good. And their five Blackheart stores that they've opened featuring lingerie are all excellent, excellent places for your clothing value.
This show is brought to you by our good friends at Hot Topic. Won't you please patronize them this weekend? Hot Topic.
I'm going to sign off now so I can go see Man of Steel, but I'm going to stop by Hot Topic first to pick up some merchandise that I'm sure is appropriate for me and my friends. I don't know what was written down over there, but by the look of shock on everyone's face, it was important to read.
Well, Kevin went white.
Changed the course of this particular comedy
just
ship.
A suggestion.
Kevin looked handed a note. So I felt like we should go with it.
I think Somali pirates have taken over my comedy ship. And at gunpoint, I am under obligation to do whatever they ask.
That's correct.
I'm Captain Phillips all of a sudden.
Not just a hot topic. It's the hottest topic ever. They're so hot.
White hot topic.
They not only didn't do this, they've never done anything wrong.
I think they do just nothing but good.
Right.
Is what they do. Remember when they cured that kid of cancer? Remember that
I
time?
Do remember that.
That was an amazing day. Yep. Yeah. They sure do.
And they gave that girl those lungs.
Right.
Yeah. Now she's breathing thanks to Hot Topic. Today's celebrity birthdays. Lucy Hale from Pretty Little Liars is 24 years old today. Kevin McHale from Glee is 25.
Loved McHale's Navy.
Oh, didn't we all?
That's a good input. Thank you.
Diablo Cody's 35. TV personality and businessman, Donald Trump. Maybe our president someday.
Please.
That's what he keeps telling us.
Yeah.
Everybody wants him to run.
Sure.
He's 67 years old. And singer Boy George is 52 years old. Come on. Everybody, all stay. Come and go. You come and go.
Email Ralph at krock.com every time that song comes to your head this weekend.
People are only complaining about the war song.
Kick it out of my head.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph.
Thank you, Hot Topic, for all that you do. All you've given us and all the years of pleasure I've gotten from shopping at your store.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
That's not brown rice.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This man is a failure. He is not up to snuff.
Roll another one.
That's how that token bath.
Just like the other one.
Yeah! That's hot.
This one seems to be about to quit.
It's hot topic.
Yeah.
Another
year. You guys like factoids? Check this out. 1 in 4 Americans has an STD. Chlamydia, herpes, garden variety, genital swelling.
That's quite enough, lemon.
Rectal fissures.
Roll another one.
I like soccer. It is good.
Just like the other.
Would you like to take that back?
Yes. Seems to be about
okay, all right, so that's where we'll draw the line.
I don't have another cent.
Look, I got a freaking baby in me, and I don't want him getting all agitated.
But don't work out that joint.
Are you sexually attracted to young boys, to underage boys?
Just pass it around.
Sorry, sir, I have no idea what you're saying.
I'll just pass it on down.
Pass it on down.
Worst episode ever. Rest assured that I was on the internet within minutes, registering my disgust throughout the world.
Hey, I know it wasn't great, but what right do you have to complain?
I feel they owe me.
What?
They're giving you thousands of hours of entertainment for free. What could they possibly owe you? I mean, if anything, you owe them.
Worst episode ever.
That's how you get it done. See? Learn, kids.
That was a great workout. I know it was for me. I hope it was for you, too.
I think it went well. Well, you know, not well at all.
That must have been a moment of part.